does. Sit right back and you'll hear a tale, the tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Way to go, Stan. Nice shooting.
Thank you. We ever love to sink that HMS Beagle and send it down to the depths. I'm Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski, welcoming you to another great episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take a very lighthearted look at the serious issues of creation evolution. Serious because it has a lot to do with our worldview and what we think is where we came from and, you know, has ramifications for where we think we're going to go.
And lighthearted because sometimes we're a little lightheaded on it all.
Very
we
light.
Like to laugh at ourselves most of all sometimes because no one really has a monopoly on all knowledge except for the giver himself, God.
Yep.
And so we recognizing those things, but we like to wax eloquent in areas that we may not be as waxing as we should be or
eloquent or at least let's just say that lightheaded and lighthearted go together. And we are here today, John, to talk about fences.
Fences.
Mm-hmm.
Some about a wall that we want knocked down. But, you know, one of the hardest things, you know, is we talk about people on the fence.
That's right.
And people on the fence are people who kind of want to live in two worlds or want not be the great undecided.
Are you talking about Democrats and Republicans?
Or moderates.
Moderates.
They sit on the fence and they stick their finger up in the air and they wait for that breeze to come by and see which is cooler, which is warmer, and they hop over on the warm side.
Well, it is kind of, you know, and there's something that kind of makes us seem like we're pretty cool when we're independent. We're not this way or that way. We are somewhere in the middle. It seems kind of cool. And
it's safe.
We're unattached.
We don't sound too snobbish or so sure of ourselves. And
well, you know.
We're not fenced.
We don't go with the flow.
We don't go with the flow. We go in the direction of truth.
Well, today we're going to talk about the difficulty that some people have on the subject of creation and evolution in terms of, well, trying to have it both ways.
And actually, we're going to actually not really pick on this person because we like him dearly, but there's a special, a book has come out called The Edge of Evolution.
Okay.
And it's actually, in a sense, it's not a pro-Darwinian book completely.
Okay.
Actually, it's kind of an anti-Darwinian book on one level specifically, but it's written by a design writer, a person who actually I had a chance to interview when I was doing my dissertation, Michael Behe.
Oh, yes,
and
Michael Behe.
Michael Behe wrote Darwin's Black Box, a very famous book in, I think it was 96 it came out. And it shook
book.
Up the world. I mean, it shook up the scientific world. And when you look at the comments that came out after that book, they all just lampooned him. They called him a closet creationist. They did all kinds of things. But
worst thing you could call a scientist is
a creationist. Oh, it's like you might have swore at him there.
Yep.
Yeah, and as a result of that, he's been kind of lampooned and tried to be marginalized.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard because he's basically saying, you know, I'm a biochemist, microbiologist type, and I understand the very small world of the cell, you know, cellular biology, and life isn't simple. Never was simple, never could come about as simple, and that shook the idea of evolution that thought life could start from a simple and grow to complex over through natural selection and mutation over many years.
He was the fellow who coined the phrase irreducible complexity. He is the one that kind of presented that as a way of explaining how Darwin was wrong in this sense, that simply mutations could account for the complexity and the changes that we see.
Yeah, but as a result of that, He, of course, like I say, he was lampooned by his scientific brothers, you know, in the academic community. He has since, by the way, now issued a second book called The Edge of Evolution, you know, A Search for the Limits of Darwinism. You know, where is Darwin valid and where isn't? And basically, he likes to, you know, he begins the book and under the banner of Darwinism saying there's basically, there's three things. One, the first tenet of Darwinism is common descent. Mm-hmm. A second is natural selection, and the third is random mutations.
Mm-hmm.
And Behe believes that there's very strong evidence for common descent.
Oh, okay.
And that, and as a creationist, we'd say, yeah, if the common, if we
that?
Descend from God, mm-hmm. yes, there's a strong resemblance. We were made in his image.
I think we just read that last week on Sink the Beagle when Paul was talking to the Athenians and saying that we are all of one blood. God is our father. And yeah,
but,
we're all
but
of
he's
one
not,
race.
Michael Behe doesn't agree with that.
Okay.
He does. He kind of thinks that maybe
he
God uses evolution. And then secondly, you know, he would say that there's probably some certainly some, he'd say, strong evidence for natural selection, important part.
Hmm.
But he does disagree with the final one of random mutation and the origin of life. That's where he parts with Darwin.
Well, maybe the key word there would be random.
Yeah. Evolution by means of natural selection is a myth. But he doesn't believe it's a myth, but its domain is limited. In other words, macroevolution, turning a mouse into a whale, never.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he would agree there's probably something there that just doesn't, you can't do that. You can't go that far.
Mouse
and
to
so
whale.
We would call him, actually, Behe's very consistent with his theology.
All right.
And his theology would be a traditional, when I say traditional, I'm thinking of John Paul II, a traditional Catholic. He mm-hmm. is a Catholic. He teaches at Lehigh, a Catholic university out in mm-hmm. the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And he believes that, you know, much like the Catholic Church, there's two domains. There's the domain of belief and the domain of fact. And evolution, in many ways, can explain much about our material or physical world, and science can. But about the soul and about our spiritual life, that's the role of the Church and God. And he does believe in a designer.
Okay.
He will not label it God. He does believe that somewhere there had to be someone who started it all, because it just, he does not believe that it would ever start on its own. And that's where we share mm-hmm. that view.
Well, and here is where we think that we see in Michael Behe, although a brilliant man, we see someone that's in a way trying to, like that a Roman Catholic position, trying to walk perhaps on both sides of the fence at the same time, trying to say we are pro-science, we believe in science, and science has said that we came from an amoeba, and so we're gonna give them that. We're gonna give them that and say that that's so. But the spiritual realm, miracles maybe, God doing something special in some Neanderthal kind of, you know, a caveman and making him something special as we are today, then we will leave that realm in the area of God and the supernatural. So in some ways, we hear this a lot. This is a common attempt by many people in the world who like science, who believe in science, but also want to have faith in a God that probably the Bible is sort of talking about, and you know, trying to be a Christian and trying to also honor science. And so here's that difficulty.
And as a result of that, you know, what really happens, unfortunately, is that you are rejected by those who hold the Bible high, with
yep.
a high standard, and you are rejected by the scientific community, who think you are basically nothing better than a foolish creationist
mm-hmm.
who believes in boogeymans and witches and warlocks and
right.
Supernatural
and spookies. Beings. Yeah.
You know, so mm-hmm. so you never really get accepted in either world, and that's the trouble with the creation, the theistic evolutionists. And I think really what really drives us, Stan, and mm-hmm. when I think of these things, is that none of us like to be shamed. You know,
right.
We all avoid shame. We all want everyone to like us and think that we're special and wonderful.
Think that we're bright
and we're reasonable people mm-hmm. and we're mm-hmm. enlightened, that we can, you know, tolerate such wide divergence.
Independent even.
Yeah, but the whole mm-hmm. thing is you can tolerate such a divergence that you sacrifice your integrity on the course. It's one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Either the Bible is true or not, or science is true or not.
And
the claims are too strong. If you reduce mm-hmm. it to myth and fiction and the creation of man, then why even be a theist?
Yeah.
You know, if the Bible is a creation of humanity and not divinity, then you should be not be a theist at all.
Well, and this is the difficulty, because so much of what we know about God comes from the Bible, and you get to the point where you say, okay, let me see. We'll believe the parts of the Bible that don't seem to contradict science. What parts would those be? Well, wait a minute. Now we got some miracles we got to deal with. Those aren't scientific. We're going to throw out the miracles of the Bible. And you begin to chop up the Bible in an attempt to try to be scientific and independent and all of this and enlightened. But what do you do when at the end of the day, what do you have left from the Bible about
Not
God?
Much.
What's your image?
Nothing.
I mean, God is above nature. Throughout Scripture, the stories are consistent. God is above natural law. He set natural law into place. He can step outside of it when he wants to.
Yeah, or enter into the universe. He's bigger than his universe, mm-hmm. and he can enter into it. You know, he can do what the Germans like, finger poking, you know.
Yeah, don't finger poking the
Yeah, he can finger poke it as often as he mm-hmm. wants.
The, yes.
You know, and I always find it hard, you know, when we look at fence straddlers, we think it's a very narrow fence and the two sides are real close together and you try to live. The reality is, though, is that we are these two positions when it comes to creation evolution, our chasm, it's a Grand Canyon you're trying to straddle. And if you have one trying to get one foot on one side, the other side is so far away philosophically, you know, and evidentiary mm-hmm. that you fall. If you don't believe in God, there's no God, you can't even, there's nothing on the other side, you know. It's impossible.
And people have found this difficult. A lot of people have. I think Michael Behe is trying to do the best he can, and we acknowledge that he's a fine scientist. He wants to maintain scientific credentials with his
acceptability.
Acceptability.
He wants to go to
community.
The scientific meetings and not be lampooned, ridiculed, and
who would want
made
to
fun
be?
Of.
On the other hand, we also want to encourage him and others to try to be faithful to God's word. You know, this idea of choosing between God and, you know,
the world or
God
another
world.
Options
yeah.
are.
Yeah, the fence is actually
nothing new.
And Elijah faced a similar thing back in 1 Kings 18:21. We're going to give today's torpedo text as the following. This is about the prophet Elijah and the prophets of Baal, and then presenting all of this to Israel, who seemed to have a hard time deciding what they wanted to believe. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." And the people answered him, "Not a word."
And their silence was deafening, so
yes.
to speak. And, you know, it wasn't until the fire came down and then they finally at least saw the light. And for at least a short period of time, there was reform
yes.
in the land.
Yeah. And it was a supernatural, it was a supernatural display of God's power. God was above nature and God answered the prayer of his people, of Elijah in this case, and mm-hmm. demonstrated he was God.
We here like to hopefully think that there is no need to feel like a fool or be ashamed and not be a fence straddler.
Yep.
I mean, you know, you don't have to tightrope along that fence or try mm-hmm. to be.
Between
it's like trying to
opinions.
Be, you know, live in the tavern and live out of the tavern.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to be an alcoholic and live inside a bar. You know, it's hard to live in two worlds that one is a prison. You know, in some
it's
respects.
It's hard to have faith in two great worldviews at one time. It really
yeah.
is. You know, is natural law running the universe?
Or is there a God?
Is there a God who's directing the forces in the universe? And really, I'd have to say that is what we have as our big question today. And Michael Behe struggled with it.
Believe,
like,
yeah,
what
do you believe, Dr. Jones? Yeah, what do you believe there, Dr. Hudson?
Well,
if God be God, as Joshua would said, if the Lord, you know, choose who you want to serve. You know, as for me and my house.
Yes.
We've decided on this and we're going for it because there's nothing better to go for. We've discovered this is the God, the only true God. And of course, Joshua mm-hmm. saw quite a bit.
Well, you have to put your faith in something. All of these worldviews require faith. Faith based on evidence, but not entirely evidence. Other things that you stretch your faith to believe in. And we want to encourage you, listeners of Sink the Beagle, to please stretch your faith. Make sure that you understand who is at the center of your worldview. What is your opinion?
Hop off the fence.
Yeah, get off the fence, for goodness sakes. Get off one side or the other. And we hope that you get on the side of believing in a God who loves you and made you for a special purpose. Don't forget our next program. Tune in to
Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friend. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.